this before I get this published.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like your mentor?
Yeah, he's my mentor, and he's really like a brother to me. Like my older sister when I lost her. I needed her all these years, you know. But he came into the rescue and just guided me since then.
Mm-hmm.
So we all need somebody to look up to, you know, guidance. You know, that's what I found.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like within the next year, you think? I say about
give me about 3 months.
Three months. And it's, did you find a publisher yet?
I'm going to do it myself.
Okay.
But I have people that are helping me right now. So
nice.
Right now I have a couple of people going over it. And right now I can feel people just telling me you got a powerful healing story. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a healing journey I started.
Yeah. Well, Junebug, man, our hour is over. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate talking with you, and I'm just inspired by your healing journey and your healing story, and I really look forward to reading your book. Thank you for being a guest, and maybe when the book comes out, you can come back.
Yeah,
on
that
the
sounds
show.
Good.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, at onlinekfai.org, and you're listening to.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we got Dr. Stately coming in a little bit here. Also, our friend from Emerge Wisconsin, CEO Arvina Martin. And we're going to be talking about what's happening and what happened today here in Minneapolis and the ramifications and things like that. Of course, our thoughts are definitely with what's happened here in Minneapolis, and it's just a mixed bag here for us here at Native Roots Radio. It's so sad to see this happen again and again and again, and somebody that has maybe some mental illness happening end up with guns and, of course, killing people, innocent people, and then killing themselves. So we're really, really sad here. It's been a really gray day here at Native Roots Radio. Prayers up. I just am totally disgusted. We talk about, I liked what Fry had to say today when he said that, you know, our thoughts and prayers, well, these kids and parents and workers and teachers were praying. So that kind of shoots that, you know. We need to be vigilant. We need to have our politicians do something about this. And we also need us to work with our youth and the young people out there today that seem so, so hurt and just hurt. You know, what can we do? It's just really, really sad. And I don't know. It's just been a gray cloud today here at the pilot home. We have our grandchildren today, and Wendy's been watching them. And it's just been an emotional day. When are these going to stop? When are people going to stop killing other people senselessly? You know, it's a mass shooting again. And Minneapolis had some problems the day before of people getting killed too. And it's really, you know, I look at my grandchildren and I say, is this what they have in their future? Not being safe. As being a former high school teacher, we had drills for this. This school and this church and school had reinforced their safety, and yet somebody was able to shoot through a window, get through a window, and kill innocent people. I just am beside myself here, and watching this unfold, watching the numbers come in this morning, watching people from our local news breaking down and crying because of the senseless killings. And, you know, they're crying because they know people in the community, and this is a community that's kind of by Richfield, still in Minneapolis. It's not in the deep heart of Minneapolis, but it is in Minneapolis. And, you know, next thing we're going to have here is, you know, Trump bringing in the military and bringing in the National Guard because we're unsafe here in Minnesota, and we're a blue state. So it's crazy, you know, it's crazy. Allison just asked a question here that has a little bit, not too much to do with what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try and answer that. She wanted to know, do we know if the Cedar has a special meeting when it comes to the jingle dress at the Fine Arts building? And Cedar for Ho-Chunk, especially, and we sell a T-shirt out there, not to get all commercial on everybody, but at the State Fair, and we sell a T-shirt with the four medicines, and Cedar is one of the medicines. So that's one of our medicines, along with sage, sweetgrass, and tobacco. So I hope that answers your question about that. Again, just really, really sad today. What can we do? What can we do? We can talk to our young ones and hold our young ones and hope that they aren't affected in either way. You know, I feel sick to my stomach today. I really, really do. And I don't know. We're going to have a discussion here later on with some of our guests that we've had on, Dr. Stately, Arvina Martin, and talk about this. What is the solution? Why is this so normalized now? I'm just, you know, heartbroken. And this is in our backyard, and we need to do something. You know, this 23-year-old person who died a self-inflicted gunshot at the scene. And I guess at one time, the mother worked at the school and church. So what is the answer? What is the answer? It's just, it's so, so heartbreaking. Just so, so heartbreaking. You know, to wake up here this morning and to have this on our news and having our grandchildren here, knowing that there's countries that don't deal with this. There's countries that don't have these kind of guns. You know, a 48-hour wait, things like that that we've been trying to get past over the years. Again, I'm sorry that, you know, I'm coming off pretty unprofessional today, and I'm just, I don't know, I just feel super sad about what happened here and what's been happening, you know. Sandy Brook was, what, 10 years ago, and we're still dealing with this? We're still dealing with this. I just don't know what to say. We're devastated here at Native Roots Radio, and we're just really sad for the future of our children, and we need to do something about this, and we need to get proactive. And again, what Mayor Fry said, they were praying, so our thoughts and prayers, they were praying, what can we do, you know? But hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and, you know, thank you so much, everybody that's listening and feeling it. We're going to take a quick break and get myself together here. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations, and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice, and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and I want to give a shout out to Savage Truth that's just posted here. Prayers up for the community and our country. I think you hit it on the spot when you said mental health and looking at our, to our politicians so we can have funds where it's needed. What else can we do? And I appreciate you listening, Savage. I appreciate you giving input. Anybody else feel that way? You know, for natives, you know, we need to, you know, pass on our culture, you know, for our kids. We need to teach native language and songs and ceremonies. We need to have our kids involved in powwows and seasonal ceremonies and cultural events. And we need helping them to feel prideful of being native in a society that really often erases or stereotypes native people. So that's what we try to do, at least in our culture. And I think, you know, mental illness is a thing that really is out there. And then the easy way to get guns, it's just, I don't know, it's just really hurt. I just feel so bad. And, you know, we need to support education. You know, we need to encourage our children to do well while they're in school. And we as natives also need to be teaching them to question narratives that leave out native history. And that's what we try to do. Everybody at one time was, you know, whether it was 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, everybody, whether you were Italian or Irish, English, were part of a tribe. We're a community where they touched the ground with their feet, you know, and their bare feet, and they looked up to, you know, Father Sky and Mother Earth. We all have been there. We've all been colonized. And I'm sad that this was happened at a Catholic school, and I'm really sad that it happened to children. And being a former teacher, again, I said this earlier, we normalized these, you know, it was like when I was a kid, we normalized duck and cover because I guess we wanted to be under our desks when the nuclear bomb hit. I'm not sure if that would have helped, but we had drills 3 times a year where we closed the doors, locked the doors, turned the lights off. Those drills in themselves are kind of traumatic when you think about that. I really am just really sad here about what's going on. And I think I sent Arvina the wrong link here to come on. I'm going to try and send her that again. But I just really, really, really am sad for this country. I'm just prayers up to everybody out there. Yeah, it's a very sad day today. You know, and if you haven't heard, what's happened is there was a shooting at a Catholic church today, and it was right in the beginning of the day where they have their prayer and start their way out in a good way. And you know, I'm just totally sad, and I want to bring Dr. Stately on here to talk me down a little bit. But this is a traumatic time here in Minnesota. And thank you, Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic here, CEO. And I've just been talking about how sad I am about today and what we're going, the community here in Minneapolis and Minnesota, are going through. And you know, everywhere from the people that work at the hospitals, by a second day of mass shootings here in Minnesota, to the family with hurt ones and ones that have passed on. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation to be here today. It is, it was a shocking bit of news this morning to hear that happening. It isn't actually too far away from a clinic where we operate from. And, you know, I was just talking with some of my staff about this earlier and a couple of other people about how, you know, we've had our share of violence in the community, within the last, 3, 4, 5 months, it's just been kind of like a heavy amount of gun violence. It's just sad. It's like it was shocking to me I was in the middle of a meeting and I could hear I was kind of paying attention because it was one of those meetings where you're in multiple, there's 20 people in the meeting, some in the meeting listening to the conversation, but then I also have the radio on because I listen to NPR every single morning when I wake up and kind of start my day, and I could hear, the news report, the breaking news reports that were coming through at NPR this morning, and I was just like, oh my God. Shocking. I think the shocking, the heartbreaking and shocking thing is, of course, all of it is heartbreaking and shocking, but it's just like the fact that 2 children were killed and several more were injured, seriously injured. I think I haven't even looked recently to see if anybody else has passed away, but multiple gunshots or multiple gunshot victims that happened in a school that was attached to a church, and just as the scale of it is just heartbreaking and maddening, infuriating. It's like, what is going on in our society where that's still something we're struggling with,
How has this become so normalized? Sandy Brook was 10 years ago. Columbine, I don't even know. Is that 25 years ago or 20 years ago? My goodness.
About 2 decades ago, I think. I remember when Sandy Hook happened, my sons were small. They were probably maybe 7 or 8 years old, something like that. And I remember I rushed to school. I got my car and I drove to my school, my children's school, just because I was so disturbed by that experience. And when I got them, and I went to make sure that they were okay, because I just I feel like in the last decade or so, what we've been seeing is just people. Mirroring, and we see these things happen in clusters. One thing happens and another thing happens. It's in mental health work, we talk about suicides and homicides and those kinds of things happening in clusters. Like it emboldens or encourages people to do similar things, similar behaviors. And I just remember when that happened. As a parent, just feeling I just felt my heart drop and my stomach just, I felt, got in my car and I drove over to my kids' school and I took them out of school and I just held them. And I just it's such a hard thing to experience. My heart hurts for those parents of the children in that school, whether they were, specifically, particularly for the ones that lost their lives, but also I think that shifts and changes your life as a parent of young children to have them be, impacted by that level of violence and disruption in their lives. The loss of innocence and the and the, you know, the harsh realities of the world we live in. You know, we try our best as parents to protect our kids from that, to protect them from those things that will be harmful, whether they're direct harm or indirect harm, like to witness those things and then ask themselves, like, you know, is it going to be safe for me to go to school tomorrow? Is it going to be safe for me to leave my home? Is it going to be safe for me to be out and about in my community? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you, the scale and the weight of that as a parent is just like, you know, it's
a few of the parents
immeasurable actually.
Dr. Stately, a few of the parents have but we're interviewed, and this is the very, very beginning of the school year for our parochial schools, and then public schools start next week. But they've been saying that they want to homeschool their kids. I mean, like, I don't blame them. This is dangerous, and we don't protect our young ones. This is, and they, I don't know if you heard in the report, Dr. Stately, but they had reinforced it for safety this year, their church and their school, and still somebody shot through the windows and started shooting with three different guns. And yeah. I don't know if there's a way to stop that.
You know, I'm a behavioral health scientist and researcher and provider, a trained clinician, and
yeah.
You know, it it befuddles me to come up with something simple to say about this that doesn't feel, you know, contrived or you know, or political in any way. But it's like if we are unable as a society of, you know, reasonable human beings, like, you know, and I'm not saying anything about political affiliation here. I'm talking about people who just have, like, you know, good hearts and common sense. If we can't see that the issue here is the amount of access that people have to, like, you know, assault weapons and those kinds of things, it's just like really problematic. It's problematic that we can't see that for with clarity for how real that is, and not think that something has to change so that any people, but you know, it's particularly disturbing that young people are losing their lives. I was listening to this. I was listening to a podcast about, I don't know, it was maybe about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, on that station we don't talk about, we don't name. And, you know, and I was listening to, I think it was probably Megha Chakravarti's On Point podcast and our news show, News Radio R, about the amount of research that we do have that demonstrates, like, that we could actually change and we could actually intervene in gun violence in the United States. The issue isn't about not knowing enough. The issue isn't about not having, you know, the ideas and the strategies and the things that would work. The issue really does come down to, is there the will of the people that make decisions and make the laws? Is there enough will there to do that?
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you for listening to us. This is Native Roots Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Girl Ultra at the Turf Club Saturday, August 30th. Mariana De Miguel is Girl Ultra, touring with her new EP, Blush, an homage to the sounds of the early 2000s, blending elements of club, rock, and garage music. With 5 albums in the past 6 years and more in the works, Girl Ultra is carving a niche that bridges cultures, eras, and sounds. Opening the show are the Psychedelic psychedelic sounds of Petite Amie. More information about Girl Ultra at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com. I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Of Arvina Martin on here, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, to talk about what's happened and what's happening, and is this a political issue, and is this just a moral issue? And I know the Second Amendment was started when there was, muskets, so Dr. Stately, I know you're on a tight schedule. I can bring Arvina on anytime. She's in the bullpen too. So if you want to just give us a last little, you were really hitting on something at the end of that segment, and I appreciate you coming on, and we have Arvina Martin on, too.
Sure. I want to give her space, too. I think the only thing I would say is, what I was saying earlier was, we have the evidence and the research and the knowledge and the understanding of having... being able to create a response to tragedies like these, and also how to prevent them. Like we've had some of this information for a while. There's been a lot of quite remarkable research that's been done in gun violence and how to mitigate gun violence at the mass scale that's happening. And so it's not that we don't understand and we don't have knowledge and some clear pathway to that. I think it really is about the collective political will on all sides of the aisle, right, to be able to to respond to this. There's we're one of the only sort of quote unquote wealthiest most advanced nations in the world that have the scale of this kind of issue, right? And it's not to say that other countries don't have those challenges. They don't have it on the scale and the level that America does, that the United States does. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with just the lack of political will to kind of just solve the problem. And I think that the challenge for me is always I have a really strong feeling about this because I'm a parent of young children, right? And who only recently turned 18, and just over the last 10, 12 years or 14 years of their lives, I was always concerned about what would happen if they were in a situation like that. Would I remember them being 10 years old and having to do right after Sandy Hook, having to do, or 8 years old, having to do practice runs for how do you stay safe, those things. It's they're 8 years old, they should not be doing this. I think the thing that is challenging is you asked if it was a moral issue or a political issue, and I don't know how you actually separate those two things, right? They're linked, in my opinion. They're connected to each other. And anybody who values human life, and anybody that values the psychological and emotional and spiritual well-being of children, young people, the ones that are harmed in families, how you would not think that that's a higher priority than protecting, gun rights. The amendment you talk about was created when we had muskets that couldn't do the level of damage that happens now. We are advanced human beings, we are advanced in technology, we're advanced in so many other things, but we're relying on a law that was created in the dark ages, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. We can handle this differently and do different things. We can modernize our ways of imagining these things, and we have to, because you know, hurt people hurt other people, right? And we continue to do that, and we have ways of managing that differently. And I just think it takes, you know, courageous, outspoken people to do that. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of those people in Congress right now.
Yeah, sad. Definitely.
It's very sad.
Hey, Dr. Stately, I want to introduce you to Arvina Martin, and she's executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and she was also, she's Ho-Chunk, and she's also the, we call city council here in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, they call it the Green Bay Pack, no, they call it
the best football team ever of all time.
Okay. And thank goodness we're on like 30 stations in Wisconsin, so Arvina and I can't have an argument about that. I just have to say, okay. But yeah, she's a former first Native American City Council member in Madison, Wisconsin, and we have her on weekly like we do you, and I'm really glad that you both could come on. And if you want to stay on and chime in, Arvina has a lot of great things to say. And I know you were just in Minnesota, Arvina.
I was, and you'll have to forgive me. I am not super up on what happened. Mm-hmm. I was in Minneapolis for the DNC meeting, and I was running late because I had a work call that I had to take care of before I went in, and everything was done. I was really confused, and colleague told me that about what happened, and that they shut down the rest of our session, that we ended early out of respect for everybody who's being affected by this. And school shoot, I am also a parent. My daughter is in high school, and for it hits. It always hits differently. And I was not able to listen to any news or anything because I had to focus on driving, and just got home like at the commercial break. You know, it's the first shooting, I have it on the tip of my tongue, in Colorado.
Columbine, yes.
The Columbine shooting happened when I was a freshman in college. So I never had to deal with any of those fears growing up or going to school. And I remember it was like the last day before the holidays of my daughter's preschool. And that was the day that Sandy Hook happened. And we were supposed to go in, and they were going to sing songs and like decorate cookies and everything with us. And I was absolutely shattered inside. And I mean, I'll never forget that. And, you know, every subsequent school shooting, you just get that pit in your stomach. And, you know, I'm trying not to cry right now, because this can't happen anymore. We can't let this happen anymore. You know, our Congress people are at home right now on their breaks. You know, they should be doing, a lot of them aren't doing town halls or anything right now because of other news and happenings, but you can still contact those people that represent you at whatever level, and ask them to have the fortitude to stand up and do this, you know, and it needs to be, unfortunately, it needs to be a bipartisan effort.
Yeah.
And definitely. Get anything get anything that's going to actually work into place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Dr. Stately had mentioned about all of these studies that tell us, repeated studies that tell us that this is dangerous and it can be stopped. It can, you know, can be, handled in a way that's different from how we're handling it now. And one of the first, you know, after the immediate fears of for like physical safety for everybody involved and everybody that just everybody, you know, my next thought was, and thinking about this, I bet you if the money that funds any of these gun violence protection or prevention programs still get federal money, they're not going to be getting it anymore. I'm sure that these studies are going to be, you know, dismissed or somehow taken. It's just terrible.
Hey, we want to take a quick break, and I appreciate it. Dr. Stately, can you hang on and chime in? Or I know you got a tight schedule, but this is something really close to your guys' heart and my heart, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Arvina Martin and Dr. Stately. This is Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. This is Native Roots Radio on a super somber day, and I want to we're here with Arvina Martin, of CEO or Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, and Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Dr. Stately, do you mind commenting on what Arvina said? That was this has become or is a very heavy show, and I appreciate everybody's honesty here.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I also saw a couple of comments on the comments page that, you know, I think one of the things that's important to recognize is like, so there's always this discussion, I think, at the federal level and Congress and sometimes in state legislative sessions as well about like this idea of like, well, we need to put more money behind mental health because if we, you know, the people who are doing shootings are mentally ill. And we just put more money into mental health, that would solve the problem. And I think part of it is that, you know, I mean, I happen to think that like you have, as human beings, we could acknowledge that it's not a healthy, normal sort of like thing to have the motivation to shoot another human being, right? I could be a little bit faulty in my thinking here, but I happen to sort of embrace indigenous values and ideas. And one of the things that's one of our most basic things as human beings is, you know, if we want to be good relatives to each other, which is what we were sent to be here as, you know, from Creator sent us to come here and be good relatives to each other, is to find another way to work out our differences and find another way to relate to one another, where we value life and we value each other's as relatives. So if we want to practice from that perspective, we don't shoot each other and kill each other. but I think the thing that I would say is that, you know, mental health probably has a role to play in some of this. Like people get angry, they don't have the skill set, or they have the ability to manage their frustration tolerance and those kinds of things. So there's a role to play in it, but the larger part of the issue here really is the outsized availability of access to guns of mass destruction and guns with you know, just the amount of guns that people have, right? I think I can't remember where I was just trying to look while we're on break, like looking up studies and stuff. I was trying to find the metrics around sort of like how many guns there are that are owned in America. And there's more guns than there are people.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, so there's enough guns in this country for every single person to have, you know, two or three of them.
And, yeah, you know, definitely.
And I think about all the people that I know that and I know a lot of people, and I think of like all of the people that I know, you know, a handful of them own guns. Mm-hmm. The majority of them don't, right? And so I think part of it becomes this conversation around like, you know, do we really need to own this many guns? Like in the right to bear arms, right, was was a thing that was created in a society where in which there were not all these other structures that were in place to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so this idea, like, we have to be able, you know, this idea that we have as a society for a lot of people in our society, that I have to have a gun or two or three or four or five or 10 to feel safe, is, I think, in some way, shape, and form, can be the foundation of that, can be emergent from like an unhealthy mental health state. Like, if I feel that unsafe, there might be some false ideas that I have or theories I have about my area, about my community, about the people living in my community and those relationships I have with people, you know.
I want to get,
but they're not untethered. They're tethered together.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, in a society where we have more guns than people, that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Right. Arvina, you want to comment?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm so just overwhelmed with emotions that it's surprisingly hard to articulate anything clearly at the moment, which is not great radio, unfortunately. but you know, I think for a problem this big, I mean, you asked earlier, is this a moral or a political issue? And it's both and all, kind of, you know, it's economic, it's, you know, there's so many layers to this that we can't just even take a you know, well, we'll fix one thing and that'll help, or and that'll fix it all. You know, we've got to improve mental health services to everybody. I firmly believe that everybody should be in therapy, just because, and especially now when things are so scary and we have events happening like this way too often, being able to talk to somebody is so helpful, and they're able to, you know, reflect what you're telling them back to you in a way that it's so much easier to process everything and feel like you have some sort of control over those emotions. So, you know, we need to expand mental health access to basically everybody. We also need to figure out ways how to, you know, reduce access of firearms to folks that should not be having firearms, and, you know, and making, I don't know, making it somehow easier to store guns safely. I mean, it's got to come that maybe not so much that one, but like there's got to be, we've got to look at this from every possible side, and we have so much of the evidence and the reports there.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at it again and make decisions. Yeah. And start. I mean, even if it's just chipping away, we've got to make some progress.
Yeah.
And
we got a minute left, and I'd love, Dr. Stately, if you just want to close out, and then I'll hand it over to you, Arvina.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think those are all really great comments and ideas. I think one of the things I would encourage all of your listeners to think about is if this is an issue that means something to you, I can't imagine it doesn't mean something to every single person that's listening. You either have children or you were a child at one point in time, or you might have nieces and nephews, right? So it kind of is relevant to everybody. Like, go online and look for, you know, just ask the question on ChatGPT and Google, and it'll pull up a lot of, you know, how do we stop gun violence? And sandyhook.org, I think sandyhook.org is a website that has a list of all kinds of recommendations that we can take as individuals and as groups and as societies to sort of address this issue. Some really great recommendations. I think it's important, like in this situation you're feeling, Arvin, I'm feeling the same way. Sometimes I just feel like so disempowered, right? It's like, oh my God, this feels so huge and so big. How do we address it? But there's good evidence out there that gives us some ideas on how to do this. And if it means something to you, start reading up and boning up on those recommendations and talk to your legislators and talk to the people in your communities and other people that feel the same way you do and want to do something. I think that's really where it starts. And well, just don't give up. Don't give up ever.
I appreciate you both coming on such a somber day and on the days that you normally aren't on the show. And thank you so much. And we'll be talking really soon. This has been Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake, and we've been with Dr. Stately and Arvina Martin. We'll see you tomorrow.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting The Misthetics and James Brandon Lewis, Saturday, September 6th. What do you get when you cross the rhythm section of Fugazi with tenor saxophonist James Brandon Lewis? What can only be described as jazz punk. Touring on the release of their debut album, The Misthetics and James Brandon Lewis fuse improvisational jazz with driving punk to create something truly unique. Opening the show are YR Knives. More information about The Misthetics and James Brandon Lewis at The Cedar can be found at thecedar.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. This is Robert, and hey, I just ran into a good friend of ours here at the State Fair, director and CEO of New Native Theater. And did I put a new the in there? I'm not sure. New Native Theater, Rihanna Yazzie, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for your patience with me. And, and we've been trying to do this interview for 2 hours, but welcome.
Hello, Robert.
Hey, a lot happening with New Native Theater, and let's talk a little bit about that. And there's some exciting things happening, and some expansion talk, and some productions coming up.
Yes, so we just announced our new season. So we're going to have three plays this year. First one is called Fallen Star, and that's actually a play we premiered last year at the North Shore Theater in Duluth with the Duluth Playhouse. And so we are touring that children's play to the Upper Midwest and tribal communities in northern Minnesota and around the Twin Cities. So, you know, we're still booking dates, so if anybody's interested in that, it's a 40-minute children's play. So that is coming back. For
how can they get a hold of you?
They could send us an email, info@newnativetheater.org, and we spell theater with a R-E at the end. And then we have a Christmas play that we are producing. We're actually bringing back Christmas in Ochopee, mm-hmm. and we're creating a holiday tradition. We produced it 2 years ago, and it was a Star Tribune critics pick, and everybody loved it so much. Christmas in Ochopee is basically Christmas in the Everglades and the Florida Everglades under the sun. And I think a lot of folks in Minnesota are going to appreciate the fact that you could spend a little time in Florida with Christmas in Ochopee. And then in spring, we have a world premiere of a brand new play by a brand new playwright named Kira Eckweiler, who's Alaska Native. And her story, her play is called The Bird Blind. And it takes place out on the Alaskan tundra. And I think a lot of people in Minnesota can relate to it, especially folks who come from like northern Minnesota or hunting culture. But it's called The Bird Blind, and it's essentially a story about this man who's a bird hunter who ultimately sort of finds his family again through meeting and taking care of a 10-year-old who he ends up kind of becoming like a somewhat of like an uncle to, kind of acting in a fatherly way. But it's just such a beautiful play, and it's a brand new Native playwright, and we really love it. New Native Theater bringing the best plays, you know, developing and producing brand new Native plays, and I'm really proud of this play. I'm going to get to direct it, and can't wait for our audiences in Minnesota to check it out.
Well, you say, you know, you're helping develop playwrights, but I know you've developed actors over the years, and then you guys have classes, too.
Yes. Actually, on Monday nights, we're starting up a brand new thing called the Actors Gymnasium. So if you are an actor, you can come down, learn some of the craft of acting. If you've got a monologue, we can workshop it with you. But it's basically like, come to the gym if you're an actor, because we've got to work out for you.
Where is that going to be?
That will take place at Division of Indian Work, where our offices are.
Oh, very, very cool. So it's a double entendre with the workout and the working your craft.
It's not a double entendre, but it is a double meeting.
Well, I don't know if I missed that class.
It's basically if you're an actor or you are an aspiring actor, you can come on down. It is taught by one of our artistic producers, Ben Wilson, who is a fantastic director and actor himself. And really, it's just an opportunity to come together in community and learn your craft. Yeah, come on down Monday nights.
And bring a hot dish?
You could bring a hot dish. We wouldn't mind eating food. Yeah. We would love to have some food there. And you could see the info on our website or our Instagram or our Facebook.
So you have been around. You just had an anniversary a little while ago. Talk about that, because this is something that you've been passionate about and help people and get the word, Native word out, and normalize a lot of things in the community. Been around a long time now.
Yeah, 15 years. Started New Native Theater in 2009. When I moved to Minnesota in 2006, I came out here as a playwright for a fellowship, a year-long fellowship at a place called the Playwright Center. And they develop plays nationally. They're very well known for developing playwrights. And so when I came to Minnesota, I thought, oh, there's going to be a Native theater out there, you know, some place that could produce my plays, some place that I can learn and be part of. And it was just really surprising that there wasn't a full-fledged Native theater company in the way that, like, Penumbra exists or Theater Moo. Penumbra's a black theater, and Theater Moo's Asian American theater. And I you know, after a couple of years, people saying, Rihanna, you should start a theater, you should start a theater. And starting a theater. Right.
Well, and cool. We can talk a little bit too. You know, I've always said, oh my gosh, slow down on the credits here, but you've done writing for major television shows, North Winds, and that's not it. Dark Winds, North Winds.
I think you're going to get mixed up with Northern Exposure.
Oh, I did start watching that again.
Okay. No, Dark Winds, yeah.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and I always get to say I know somebody who wrote on Dark Winds, so, and it was a couple times.
Yeah, I wrote for seasons 2, seasons 3, and you know, working on some other TV stuff.
You also did a documentary, too. Didn't you do a movie? Weren't you a part of a movie? A short?
Well, I made a feature film.
It was a long one, not a short one.
Yeah, a narrative called A Winter Love. And that's been film festivals. And I'm hoping this year we get to finally see it streaming. So
that's cool. And one of the platforms, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I feel like being here
Say something. You said yaha.
I feel like being here at the Minnesota State Fair, I'm getting a really strong Minnesota accent.
I was just going to say that. You betcha. You got a binder?
You betcha. You got to roll that bolt right.
Right. Hot dish. We did talk about hot dishes. So, again, let's give some information, a quick rundown again of what's happening with New Native Theater. You got productions coming up. You got classes coming up. That's we got another 2 minutes here, and I want to just pump. Yeah. No, sorry, another 2 minutes.
You got two-minute warning, everybody. I apologize deeply.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.